So what does this say? This is from Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, which I think I actually preached on once many, many moons ago. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And up at the top, you can't read this at all, but up at the top here, are the words to O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, one of my personal favorite hymns, being interpreted God with us. So when my dear wife said you have to have a Christmas message, which I guess we found out about Wednesday that it was coming, I thought, well, Luke 2, that's the Christmas story. But we probably could recite it forwards and backwards. And I thought, what could we talk about that's related to Luke 2? And so I'm going to go somewhere else in Luke. I'm going to go a little farther in the passage. And we're going to focus on verses 21 to 35. Steve Lawson once said, if you want to hear God's voice audibly, just read the Bible out loud. Because this is God's voice. So I'm going to do the Aaron bit right now, and I'm going to read the Bible out loud, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. Luke 2:21, and when 8 days were fulfilled to circumcise the child, his name was called Jesus, name called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were fulfilled, we're going to talk about this later, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it happened to him, being instructed by the Holy Spirit, he was not to see death before he would see the Christ of the Lord, or the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and the parents brought him, the child Jesus, to do according to the custom of the law concerning him. Even he received him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you will let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light for revelation to the nations or to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken by him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this one is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I want to talk about Simeon. So there he is. There's Simeon from the passage. And I'm calling this the story of Simeon. Christ is now 40 days old. This is following the procedures. Simeon's an interesting guy. His name actually means hearkening or hearing. The Hebrew name is Shimon. You may have heard of that. Shimon Peres from Israel. That's the word. It means a hearkening or someone has heard. The fascinating thing about this, as I thought about this, is what had happened for 400 years previously to that? There was total silence. God had stopped speaking. You have to wonder why that was. And in Malachi, there's roughly 400 years of silence with nothing taking place. Well, the fact that God wasn't speaking drove them back to the Word. You know, people want now very much to get new words from God. One of my favorite pet peeves, and I'm kind of a grammar junkie in a lot of ways. I can't get over language and punctuation. I follow a couple of them on Facebook, one called Grammarly. They constantly shows you mistakes, and they just make the hackle stand on the back of my neck. But I've read these bumper stickers that say, and I drive the speed limit, so I read a lot of bumper stickers. And somebody passed me and said, where God has put a comma, don't put a period. Well, okay. But you know what I say? Where God has put a period, don't put a comma. And when I read the scriptures, I read at the end of Revelation that you don't add or subtract. We have God's word. If we want to hear God's word, we can read it out loud. There's nothing new for us him to tell us about. He shared with us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So I'm looking at this stuff. It drove them back to the word. Amazingly, though, 400 years is a long time. But what was Simeon doing? If he was hearkening, we don't use that word much now, that means he was listening. He was listening for, and we're going to see in a moment how that brought it about. So those 400 years of silence are significant because what that tells me is Simeon was waiting to hear from God. And when God spoke, he was there. Let's look at it a little bit. Luke 21 to 24 talks about the purification. The language indicates it could be just the child and it could be the family itself. There's a natural presentation that takes place. 40 days after a child is born, the woman is considered ceremonially unclean. And then at some point, they have to come before the priest and have this procedure done. It's done, in essence, to the blessing as a memory to how God has spared his people. So this is part of the, they were a good Jewish family and they were paying attention to the rules. As a matter of fact, Edersheim, those of you that went to Bible college would know about Edersheim, he said that women on this usually rode on oxen when they made these trips because if you rode over top of a sepulcher, that would be unclean and the oxen would keep you from being next to the dead bodies. And they would pass over there, and he talked about the life and time. And the firstborn, every child of the household, had to be redeemed by the priest, or roughly, as we saw, you know, a few shekels. The sacrifice was talked about in Exodus 13. And it was a memorial to the sparing of the Israelite families. And they, of course, they called him Jesus. Jesus in the Hebrew. In the Greek, Joshua, Yeshua, in the Hebrew, means Jehovah is salvation. And we're going to find out later on that what did Simeon say as he held the child up? I have seen your salvation. So it means Jehovah saved. I listened to a commentary that it means Jehovah's going to be there. Well, it's much, much stronger than that. Salvation is an important part of this. This is all we read about Simeon. He doesn't show up he doesn't really show up anywhere else. There are other Simeons in Scripture. But the primary one, well, one was the second son of Jacob by Leah, Abraham's descendants. But this Simeon, just a handful of verses, we learn a lot about him. This is what we find out. And this is a busy page, but it's busy because there's a lot I want to tell you about him. First of all, in Luke 2:25 it says, and behold, it means, oh, here it is. Let's see. I said, I wrote a little note. It's like, ta-da, here it. Now pay attention. This is what's going on. This is very important. Simeon. Remember, he means hearkening. He was just. The word there, dikaios, means righteous. The word for righteousness comes from that. He was just, devout, and waiting for the consolation of Israel. Dikaios means just, meet, righteous. The devout word is a very unusual word, only used three times in the whole Bible. Eulabase is the word. It literally means to receive well. Receive well was a cautious person who took things carefully. He thought before he spoke. He measured it in the face of his understanding of the law of God. Very cautious. I write blogs a lot. One of my favorite blogs, I probably described this to you earlier, is that I had a professor way back in undergrad school a couple thousand years ago. His name was Dr. Carl Castle. And he said, don't say unquote. You have to say end quote because you can't unquote. If you said something you wish you hadn't said, guess what? You already said it. And doesn't it happen every day of the week if you follow the news or you're on the internet? Somebody has said something that they wish they hadn't said and they have to go clean it up or fix it or repair it. Well, eulabase indicates that he probably thought before he spoke. There's an old Amish term said, measure twice, cut once. I say, think twice, speak once. Or, if you're using a computer, think twice, type once. So he was very cautious about that. It usually is applied to divine law, particularly expressive Old Testament piety. So this guy was just, was very righteous. He was also very, very devout. He was also waiting. Anybody here like to wait? I'm not a fan. Although I'm pretty patient. God graced me with my dad's patience. I'm really not too bad that way. But, you know, sooner or later, it's like, can't we get there? John has shared more than one time his patience is definitely not one of his virtues. The Greek word for patience is hupomones. It means to abide up under something. But this is a present participle. So he was constantly watching. The word there for is pros dekomai. Dekomai means to receive. Pros means to or towards. So he was just kind of waiting. Remember, his name means hearkens. He's listening and he's waiting. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. So a patient man, really quite an I would love to have those three personality packs. Be righteous, be just, be devout, and be patient. They'll be good things. The consolation is the word paraklesis. That's the word the paraclete comes from in the English. That's the word for the Holy Spirit. We're going to find out later the Holy Spirit is very much involved in this. Remember, at this time, these are still Old Testament saints, and the Holy Spirit came and left. When Jesus leaves, he leaves the Comforter, Paraclete, same word, to indwell us. So now we have the Holy Spirit with us all the time, but in the Old Testament and during this time, it could come and go. David once prayed, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." But God was speaking to him expressly through the Holy Spirit at this point, and he said, the consolation of Israel is going to come. The consolation. Solace, comfort, exhortation. Now we know from experience, because we read the end of the book, we know what people were looking for when the Messiah came. They were looking for somebody to roll up their sleeves and take out the Romans and give them their land back. Christ said, my kingdom isn't of this world. We're going to find out later. That was a significant part of what took place there. But Simeon just knew, I've got a promise from God. I'm waiting for it. I'm listening. His very name means. I always wondered, how did they know how these people were going to act? Because their names seemed to reflect their personalities. I don't know if you ever looked up your name to find out where it comes from. And sometimes wonder, why did my parents name me this? I'm not real fond of Barry. You can't do much with it. But Simeon means hearkening, and that's what he was doing. He was listening. He was waiting patiently. We see in Isaiah 11:10 talking about the hope of Israel. In that day there should be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign, a banner of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Rest. Isaiah 41, comfort ye my people, says your God. God is a God of comfort. The messianic blessing came to the nation of the Messiah itself. In Acts 28:30, this is intriguing. Paul is standing before the officials, and he's being accused of things. And he's trying to. And listen to what happens in Acts 28:20. He said he's explaining this to the officials. He says, "For this cause have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." He said, you know why they're after me? Because of the hope of Israel. What's the hope of Israel? It's Jesus, the Messiah. So that's the consolation of Israel. It's a common form. As a matter of fact, this term was actually used by the Jews a lot to say, you know, if this happens, may I never see the consolation if this doesn't happen. So it was actually kind of a statement they used, very strong statement to agree. So they were all looking towards it. May I never see the consolation if this isn't true. Because they were all looking for it. The Holy Ghost was upon him, and that's how he heard this. But remember, this is God just starting to talk again. 400 years of silence. There's not. Now, silence means go to the Torah, go to the scrolls. God has spoken. Silence. How many of us have untold numbers of Bibles in our house, and I've got them on my computer, I've got them on my phone, they're everywhere, surrounded by them. And I'm waiting for God to speak. He's in my pocket. His words. But notice what happened. Zacharias was spoken to by the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was spoken to. The Virgin Mary was spoken to. So God was starting to communicate. Something very new and very exciting was going to take place. And good old Simeon in the Greek, was just patiently waiting. Just patiently waiting for it to happen. Was he impatient? He was not a young man. Age is a funny thing. As you get up in age, you start to realize how fast things happen. I still remember early in my grandparenthood, my eldest grandson was in the backyard. We lived in East Main Street. He was kind of kicking his foot, kind of frustrated because he wasn't getting his way. And this is what he said. I can hardly wait till I'm grown up. I can do anything I want. Ask him about that now. He will tell you, that was the best time of my life. So Simeon is an old man. He's trying to think. You know, we read in the scriptures, people later say, where's the promise of his coming? Everything's the same. I had a conversation with a young lad just yesterday across a belt at the UPS at probably about 4 o'clock in the morning. He says, do you think that the rapture's coming soon? Wasn't that an interesting conversation? I said, well, we don't need anything. We just need him to show up. Really? He said, yeah. I said, yeah. But Simeon was waiting patiently. Said, may I never see this consolation. Isaiah 61:1 says this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Isaiah. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Christ is the consolation. He is the consolation first and foremost. I don't know if any of you have a Jewish background. We do not. We have some dear friends that are Jewish. And I cannot conceive of how much more exciting it is to meet the Messiah that's been promised from ages, as opposed to me as a good old goyim, a good old Gentile. I appreciate the fact that I was grafted in. I wasn't the first one there. But we're going to see here that was God's plan all along. I can't conceive of what it's like to come to Christ as a Jew, as somebody of Jewish background. That there's something special about that. Paul even said that. He said, what's the advantage of the Jews? They got the oracles first. Why did he pick them? The same way he picked us, because we're disqualified. I said that earlier. The only way you can qualify to be part of God's family is to be disqualified. Because that way God can say, when people look and say, well, clearly it wasn't him, it must have been God, because he couldn't do it. This is what one of the commentators said about this. They stand in need of consolation. He said, God is able to save them to the uttermost in his blood, which speaks of peace and pardon and cleanses from all sin. For the Messiah, under this character, Simeon was waiting, hoping at a little time to see him, since he knew both by the prophecies of the Old Testament, particularly Daniel's weeks, and by divine revelation, the time was just at hand for his coming. I'm sure he didn't have a wristwatch, but I suspect he was saying, you know, God, I'm not getting any younger. And when is this going to happen? But I read that he was waiting patiently. I'm a fan of NCIS, the original Naval Criminal Investigation Services, I think it's called. There's like three different ones now, and I've watched them. And Mark Harmon in it plays a he's like the head guy, and his name is Leroy Jethro Gibbs. And he has rules. They call it the Gibbs Rules. I actually found them on the internet. I'm a data junkie, so if you want to find something out, ask me, and you can go away because I'll look it up because I can't move on until I found out. So I found all the rules. And I like Rule 39. You know what Rule 39 is? There's no such thing as a coincidence. That's a good rule. Do you know that's a scriptural rule? There's no coincidences. A cousin of mine went to Bible college with, we used to say, why did this happen? He said, I don't know, it was in the script. It was in the script. And guess who wrote the script? It wasn't you. God wrote the script. So look at this. He came by the Spirit to the temple. Isn't that something? The Messiah, it's time for him to be blessed, to go through the procedures that are part of any good Jewish family. Simeon is waiting for the consolation to show up. Isn't it something that he just happened to be there when Jesus showed up? It's almost like it was planned. There's no such... Rule 39, I'm telling you, it's a good one. There's no such thing as a coincidence. Why do we know that? It says he came by the Spirit. Now, if I were to do Greek there, I'd say that was an instrumental case, you know, by means of the Spirit. He was drawn there. He said, Simeon, it's time to get to the temple. He took the child up in his arms, and I found this great picture. I don't know how well you can see it of this Elizabeth holding that. I can't imagine. I wrote myself a little note about holding babies. The youngest grandchild we have now is 3, and he wants just still long enough to hold him. But I see pictures of... Have you ever held a sleeping baby in your arms? Is there anything more relaxing than that? I'm assuming they're clean. I didn't realize that. But just holding an infant. He's holding the consolation of Israel. Cannot conceive of what it was like. Fully aware of what's going on there. Fully aware. As a matter of fact, he's going to educate mom and dad, Joseph and Mary, about what's going on with this kid, and they're going to be gobsmacked. That's a favorite word of mine. They're going to be like, the word there is thaumazo. They marveled that they thought they knew. I mean, they knew he was of the Holy Spirit. They knew that he was Emmanuel, God with us, but they're going to learn a lot more as a result of our friend Simeon. So he's holding this child. He blessed God because that's where it all comes from. I just read a post this morning where somebody said, when people say, how are you today? I say, I'm blessed. I say, I like that. I'm going to start to say that. Because you know, if people say fine, you know what that stands for, right? Feelings I'm not expressing. So if somebody says fine, don't believe them. The psychologist, I know that, come on, really? But are we blessed? Absolutely. With all blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So as a result of this, it was revealed to him in Luke 2:26, we read earlier, that he wouldn't see death, and the word there actually meant an oracle of sorts. He said, now I can depart in peace. It's probably better translated, you're letting me depart in peace. God, you've met your promise. You know, God always keeps his promises. I spoke a while back on God always finishes what he starts. I have a number of projects in my house I haven't finished yet. So I recall, I think up in the attic, I've got a box of projects, things to get, that's around to it. When I get around to it, I'll get to it. I think I know where the box is. None of it's done. But Simeon used the word, he said, as a bondservant. He called him Lord, Kurios, which acknowledged that God was, that you're the Lord and I am your servant, and now you can let me depart in peace. He obtained all that he could wish and desire in seeing and embracing the Savior. There was nothing else for him. Nothing else for him to see. This is what he had been waiting for. Remember pros dekomai. He'd been anxiously awaiting the consolation of Israel. He is holding in his arms the consolation of Israel, the promised Messiah from back at the beginning of time. I'm reading a book right now called Jesus Unmasked by a guy named Todd Friel. And in it, he's describing Jesus is everywhere in the Scriptures. He doesn't just show up in the middle of the Synoptic Gospels. He's the bread of life. He's the water. He was the man. He wrestled with Jacob and gave him a bum leg. I mean, Jesus is all through Scriptures. The whole story is about Christ. And he's holding him. Honestly, a Gentile doing that, it'd be pretty cool, but this is the guy that God said, I'm going to translate you. And I wrote a note here, Philippians 1:21, where Paul talked about whether he should live or die. And actually, there's no verbs in that. He says, for me, living Christ, dying gain. It's a win-win. As a matter of fact, as I recall, he said, I'd rather die. But you guys need me right now, so I'm still around. But honestly, if I was going to choose, I'd choose door number two. Simeon's kind of in that place now because he's now seen this. One of the commentators said all he could wish and desire for, according to his word. That's hearing. Remember, Simeon means hearing. He was listening. Isn't it amazing how people can read the Bible as a piece of literature and just think, what beautiful language. I grew up King James, so that's the one I've memorized, you know, and I'm a little bit of a Nazi about that stuff. I'm very particular of translations, maybe a little more than I need to be. Plus, I can look at the original languages, so that helps to some degree. But and it's God's Word, and he's listening to it. He knew it. Because you can read a verse as a believer, and it has such power and such, and at the same time, somebody else read it and say, well, that's a nice thought. Every Sunday, I get an email. There's a group out of, my master's is in psychology. There's a group out of Philly called the Positive Psychology Group. I would maybe argue that's kind of like military intelligence, but anyway. I get an email on how to be positive. I got one this morning. I was looking at it. It said, well, there's a couple things. First thing you have to do is you have to tell those negative feelings to stop. Then it says you have to breathe. Well, that's a good one, I think. I recommend breathing. And I read this stuff, and it's just so hollow. Stephen Covey wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. I said the highly annoying people, but anyway. He said, seek first to understand, then be understood. That's actually pretty good stuff. I think I've told you earlier that there's a lot of wisdom out there, but you know what? If you search it back to its source, it's all in God's Word. Then I read something that says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. That's just beautiful. That's God's wisdom. Simeon was paying attention. He knew this. He knew God's promises. He was hearing it. He was acknowledging it. And he said, according to your word. The Greek there, kata, means in reference to your word. So in other words, he was taking it all back to his knowledge of Scripture and knew that this was bona fide. This was going to happen. He said, I've seen your salvation. The word there is soterion. Soter means Savior. It means a defender or defense, salvation. Genesis 49:18 says, I have waited, this is Jacob speaking, I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. I have a lot of patience, but there's times when I just want it to happen too. There really is. These guys wait. Look at Abraham. The guy lived in a tent his whole life. Moses got to look and see the promised land. He can get to go in because he had that argument with a rock, right? But the point is, patience. It is, truly is a virtue. He said, I've waited for this according to your word. He said, which you prepared before the face of all people. I underline, that's really important. That's really important. Before everybody. Not just the Hebrews. He's called God's salvation because he's a savior of his choosing, calling, constituting, promised under the Old Testament dispensation. He had spiritual eyes. Simeon could see with his eyes. He could see it with his spiritual eyes, a deeper knowledge of what was Christ. One of the comments says this, such is a sight those have who have their understandings enlightened. Christ is God's salvation set before them. They see him in the glory of his person. This is the baby, but in the glory of his personhood, the fullness of his grace, the suitableness and excellency of his righteousness, the efficacy, effectiveness of his blood, and the perfection of his sacrifice, an able, willing, complete, and only Savior. Anybody that says Jesus wanted everybody to get along didn't pay attention to Jesus. There's a favorite saying out there that I've mentioned earlier that said, you know, open and affirming. You've got to be open. We're one big happy family. Christ was always open. Always open. He was accused of hanging out with drunks and prostitutes. Because he did. You know why? He said, the sick need a physician, not the healthy. Unfortunately, the healthy were the Pharisees, and they were sicker than the drunks and the prostitutes. That was the point he was trying to make. But he was never affirming. A dear friend of mine I used to work with once had a conversation with about people, and he belonged to a very, very liberal church. It actually is it's one of those that believes that everybody is okay. Believe whatever you want to believe. It's all right. You know, as long as it works for you, that's fine. And he said, didn't Jesus say something about who is without a sin among you, throw the first stone? Yeah, he did say that. But you know, he didn't finish the story. You know what Christ said to that woman at the end of that? Go and sin no more. Well, that's not very affirming. No, it wasn't. God can't affirm sin. So this is exciting to see how this. He said, you've prepared this before the people. I have a note here. I guess Simeon was a Calvinist. Because look at that word. I love Greek words. They're so much fun to say. I told you this last week. Hetoimazo. What a great word. They're just fun to say. Hetoimazo means to prepare, to make ready. I spoke last week on the marriage ceremony and why God chose that to describe the relationship between Christ and the church. Listen to some other uses of the word hetoimazo. In John 14, 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I told you last week that the Father prepares the place for the bride. We're the bride of Christ. Verse 3 says this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the same word. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, I'm preaching in men's class on as it is written. Do you know how many times as it is written shows up in scriptures? We've been at it for months, and I just got the Hebrews. Anytime the Bible quotes the Bible, it's always in context. So that's why I chose this. And as it is written, I actually mentioned this last week, said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man, the thing which God has prepared for those that love him. And Hebrews 11:6 says, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly place where God is not ashamed to be called their God. Pretty amazing, too. Because quite frankly, I would be ashamed to be called that. You know, I look in the mirror and I'm saying, God, are you sure you made a good decision here? You know, we are the flotsam and jetsam, Read Romans 1. Not many mighty. I mean, 1 Corinthians. Not many mighty after the flesh. Yeah, most of us are the ones left over. Well, some of you guys are pretty cool, but the vast majority of us, in Lancaster County terms, you'd be culls. They're the ones that aren't good enough to put out for sale. He said, prepared a place for them. And Revelation 21:2, I quoted this last week. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And that word, hetoimazo, is an aorist active indicative. In grammar talk, that means at a point in time in the past, God worked this all out, and it's not changing. I always think of Dr. Feigert way back when I had him at LBC a few decades ago, and he said, my wife's going to the hairdresser to get a temporary. You can't get a permanent because it doesn't keep. And since my wife has a hair salon, I'm really happy they aren't permanents because we'd be poor. Because she needs to... But with God, it's always permanent. It happened at a point in time. To all people. Read in John 3:14 that Jesus was sent as a Savior, as Moses was, as Moses lifted up the serpent, that, you know, all looked to him. You know, they're now trying to change the AD. They don't like that, so they now call it CE for Common Era. Just as a kind of cute way to kind of get religion out of things. But the point is, everything factors around Christ. It does and it has. I will draw all men unto me. I made myself a note from Galatians 3:1. There's a beautiful word in there. Talking to the Galatians, he said, he called them mindless. He said, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Who's gotten into your head to get you confused this way? You shouldn't obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth. That's the King James Version. One of the translators I read called that placarded. In other words, it was set forth for the world. Remember when Jesus was walking in the Emmaus Road and he's asking questions, and he said, what, were you living in a hole? Haven't you heard what's been going on? It was everywhere. It was everywhere to all people. That word means to write previously. Now he's going to help the folks, the parents, Joseph, the stepfather, and Mary, the mother, understand about this little bundle of joy. You know, if there ever was a bundle of joy, this is it. By the way, you'll like this. I have some notes in my files. Do you know that they've done some research and they found out that babies are kind of born bad? They do things, they fake stuff. My wife played a video for me the other day of this kid who was having a fit. You might have seen it on the internet. It's a YouTube video. And the kid's having a fit because they're not getting their way. Little parents go in another room. The kid walks into the other room, drops down, and starts over again. It walks around the head just following. I need an audience for this. They found that the cute little infants can pretend to be crying to get something they want. We say, isn't that amazing? Not if you read scriptures. But what this is opening up is it's a light to lighten the Gentiles, to inform us. And you know, we need to be incredibly happy to be included in this group. Apocalypsis is the word there. It means appearing light. It's actually the word used for revelation. It means revelation, being revealed to the Gentiles. Remember, that was Paul's message. He called it the mysterion, the mystery gospel, that the Gentiles are coming in. John's talking about that in Galatians right now, about how, you know, that was tough stuff, because Gentiles were considered dogs. You know, you don't eat with those people. You don't hang around them, you know. You don't know where they've been, you know. I mean, they're not good. And Joseph and Mary marveled at this. He blessed them as well, and he prophesied. He prophesied a couple things. First of all, he said, he set for the fall and rising. The King James says rising again. That word again probably shouldn't be there. It's not like one group fell and one group rose. There are two groups. Falling. All through scriptures. He's a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. The preaching of the Christ is them that perish foolishness. The Jews require a sign. Prove it to me. The Greeks seek after wisdom. And that was the falling that took place. We read about it in Isaiah and Matthew. And the rising is a blessing when God reveals himself to us and it all falls into place. He opens up the eyes of our understanding, enables us to see it. And that's the rising. One of the commentators said this, many will be ruined by his coming, and many others be happy or saved. The poor and humble, willing to receive him, would obtain pardon of sin and peace, and would rise from their sins and sorrows, and finally ascend to eternal life. That's us. That's those of accepted faith in Christ. And he said, a sign to be spoken against. The word for sign means something conspicuous. One of the commentators said this, thousands have rejected the gospel and fallen into ruin. Never was a prophecy more exactly fulfilled than this. Remember, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He came unto his own. What happened? His own received him not. There's a but in there. I'm saving that for later. Follow the buts in Scripture. There's some great buts in Scripture. You want to do an interesting study, get a commentary and look for every time but God shows up. When but God, things happen. And he goes on to say, really he says, a sword shall pierce your own soul, thoughts of many hearts revealed. I found this picture because the cradle led to the cross. Now this is Christmas time, we're supposed to do happy stuff here, and we're going to get there. But I'm telling you, we have to remember the cradle led to the cross. Because if Christ be not crucified, we are of all men most miserable. You are still in your sins. Good luck trying to please God. However, and he talked about the sword piercing. He's talking to Mary directly. Of course, the word there could even mean a javelin. Certainly she experienced sorrow as he did, a man of sorrow acquainted with grief. Can you imagine standing there at the foot of the cross, seeing her son, God's son, being crucified? I can't. But that's the cross that overshadowed the cradle. But here's what's exciting. There's a third step. The cross, the cradle, became the cross, became the crown. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. God's going to speak to us here and he's going to let me say it. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. A sweet little baby. And he never was naughty. We were, and we are. Took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, boy, there's some tremendous theology in this, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. This would be for the worst criminals. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, given him name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Everyone. I've said earlier, I don't think there'd be anyone in heaven who doesn't know they don't belong there. I don't think there's going to be anybody in hell who doesn't realize this is exactly where they should be. Because God's righteousness, his integrity, will be upheld. Every knee should bow of heavenly ones, earthly ones, ones under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. As we move on to the Christmas week, I have only one more thing to say. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The Greek there says, there's no words for it. There's just no words for it. And that's the story of Simeon. I'm sticking with it. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to come here today. The extraordinary gift you have provided to us. as we exchange gifts, as we show kindnesses, help us to understand there is only one true gift, and that is from you. We're so undeserving of it, but yet you've graciously provided to us. Help us to demonstrate that in our work and in our lives, that people look at us and want an answer for the hope that lies within us, and we can say it has nothing to do with us. It's all you. In Jesus' name, amen.